In September, UpToDate had a conversation with documentarian Michael Price about his film Lost Minds. It exposed the mental health crisis facing Kansas City, Missouri, police officers, and the community mental health liaisons who work alongside them. Together, they are trying to decrease the number of mentally ill ending up in jail, but as the film showed, they are greatly outnumbered. On the other side of the state line, a new program is helping to address the very same problem. Rainbow Services Incorporated, RSI, brings together resources in Wyandotte and Johnson counties to help the mentally ill and substance abusers. The service provides a way for law enforcement officers to bring people they encounter to RSI. Here to further explain what RSI offers and how police can utilize it are Randy Kallstrom. He's the president and CEO of Wyandotte Incorporated. That's the parent company of RSI. And Randy, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
Captain Doug Parisi is also here. He's with the crisis intervention team of the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department. And, Captain, nice to have you, too. Welcome.
Steve, thank you for having us.
Well, Randy, let's start with you, and let's start with an overview of RSI. Who first came forward with this idea? Was it Wyandotte, Inc.? Was it the KCK Police Department, Johnson County Mental Health? Who?
It really was a process. Goes back almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The state, the Kansas Department of Aging and Disability Services, really wanted to look at how the existing Rainbow Mental Health Facility could be used better at the local level for local purposes. So there was a series of community meetings, including law enforcement representatives, mental health representatives from Wyandotte Center, as well as Johnson County Mental Health Center, Heartland RADAC, which is a organization that provides substance abuse treatment, and a myriad of other community members, stakeholders. And through that process, the state decided to send out a request for information. And through that RFI process, Wyandotte Center submitted a proposal that would include all the services that are currently provided through RSI, which includes a 10-bed sobering unit, so that law enforcement can bring someone who is inebriated, intoxicated. They can come into RSI, and in 4 to 6 hours, we get them to a place where they're sober, and then they can go back out into the community or back into detox, wherever they need to go, as well as an observation bed and unit and a crisis stabilization bed.
And all this is because the Rainbow Center had closed, right?
The state,
that's what precipitated all this.
Yeah, the state was wanting to close their own building, their own facility, and repurpose that money into local mental health services.
Captain Doug Parisi, the idea here is you want to avoid, if you can, putting many mentally ill folks in jail, right? That's not getting us very far down the road when that happens.
Correct. What we're looking to do is decriminalize mental illness. In law enforcement, a lot of times we don't have an option to take someone that might be disorderly out in public or loitering when they're in a mental health crisis. And we just need a place for them to either, you know, get the treatment, get stabilized. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of options. And what ends up happening is we end up putting them in jail because they refuse to just comply, let's say, with societal norms.
And how well does jail handle folks like that?
It's only housing. That's all they're really getting. They're getting no treatment. They're getting really very little, if any, observation or counseling. And they might get their drugs prescribed to them or prescribed drugs given to them. But the one thing is that all of that is done on the taxpayer expense. But if we can get them out of the criminal justice system and into the mental health system, then that's when other providers kick in, and it reduces the cost on the our community at all.
Captain, how much do the rank and file police officers themselves appreciate this new service? I mean, does it take something off their conscience when they can go to a program like this as opposed to just dumping somebody in jail?
One of the things that we have in law enforcement is discretion. We have a choice of whether or not to enforce a crime, or whether or not if we do enforce a crime, what the outcome should be.
Yeah.
Jail is an option, but if you have something else, say, even if somebody does deserve to be, say, charged with disorderly conduct, not having to take them to the county jail, but being able to take them somewhere else where they can get some treatment is a wonderful thing.
It helps everybody out.
Yes. The officers love the idea that they have options. That's the one thing we want, is because we're actually there to help our community. And so if it doesn't help to put someone into the jail, it costs the community money, and we have another option, that's a wonderful thing for us.
Randy Kallstrom, again, president and CEO of Wyandotte, Inc., the parent company of RSI. Just to be clear, RSI is not just for clients brought in by law enforcement. Do I have that right?
Yes, that is very true. It is for anyone in Wyandotte or Johnson County who is experiencing an acute mental health crisis or is in need of sobering services. About 43% of all the folks that have been admitted to RSI since April have been brought by law enforcement.
About half of them, roughly.
Roughly half.
And the other half are just folks who drop in?
Yeah, exactly. Many of them are just walking in themselves. Family members are bringing them in lieu of taking them to an emergency room. Mm-hmm. So as information is getting out into the community that this is a service that's available, we're seeing actually more and more of those self-referrals.
You're located where?
We are located at 36th and Eaton, which is just north of KU Medical Center off of Rainbow Boulevard.
Okay, so very handy location then if folks need to get there. Who's funding this program?
It is entirely funded through a state grant that we have with the Department of Aging and Disability Services.
How much is that grant?
Roughly $3.6 million.
And I'm wondering, with the state having its own budget troubles, Randy, do you expect that funding to be renewed come 2017 when the grant runs out, or what's the expectation here?
We're hoping that it'll be renewed.
You don't know.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. We anticipate that it'll be continued because the services really are doing exactly what they're designed to do, and that is it's preventing unnecessary admissions to the jail or to the state hospital facility, but we don't know. So we are in the process now of looking at how we can expand our funders or expand into private funders for the continued services at RSI.
I was going to say, what kind of pressure does that put on you all if you don't know if this service is going to be around for the long term? That can't be fun.
Well, in working in mental health, that's just kind of the state of what it is.
And, which is not the way it should be, by the way.
Well, you move forward as if it's going to be there. And, you know, the mental health system in Kansas has sustained several cuts over the last 5 to 10 years. But we're still there. We're still providing the services that our consumers and our clients need. And,
yeah.
And we'll continue to be there. So RSI will continue regardless of the funding, hopefully. I mean, that's the plan. Mm-hmm. And we think the state is very much behind RSI in actually looking to expand similar programs across the state.
Captain, can the Wyandotte and Johnson County folks lobby for something like this? Are you permitted to do that, or how will that shake out?
I think one of the best things we can do is do exactly what we're doing right now, and that is get the information out. By doing programs like this, we can talk about how we understand that these people need services. One of the terms we use is consumers, because they are people that society needs to help. The question is, how do you want to spend that money? Do you want to spend that money incarcerating them in a jail and getting them no treatment that's mm-hmm. not going to help them in the long term? Or do you want to work with the hospitals and say, hey, we can reduce your ER admissions, which are an extreme expense. We can reduce the incarcerations. We can reduce the number of times they show up in front of the judges in the courts. And we can also help them become productive members of society. So once the community starts to understand that this is a community approach, this isn't just the police department working with Wyandotte Inc. This is everybody coming together with the families, the people that are looking and saying, how can you help me assist this person become a productive member of society? That's really what we're looking to do. As Randy mentioned, only about half of the people that show up at RSI are brought by the police. And when families – and it's a completely voluntary program. So if somebody is in police custody and they opt to go there, we will take them there. But we can't force them to go there. So that means the other half of the people that are showing up there are coming there voluntarily, either on their own, by family members, or referred from their case managers. And that's what we like to see because it says it's working.
Now, you would think, you know, that given trends in society and what's happened across the country with school shootings and other kinds of incidents like that, that the need for this kind of program would be on the rise. Am I seeing that correctly, that this is no longer having to educate people and bring them out of the darkness here? Most folks sort of get what this is all about now, right?
Yeah, and there are similar programs to RSI, some of which we've kind of modeled RSI after, including the San Antonio model. But there's other crisis stabilization programs at the local level that are being developed throughout the country at this time. And it's a very different approach to the old institutional large state mental health facility model. It's mm-hmm. really bringing it back to the local and letting communities really develop the services that they need.
Captain Doug Parisi again with the KCK Police Department. I'm wondering about your own officers and how they approach these situations. Again, if you try to put yourself in the shoes of an officer, that can't be a very fun situation typically, coming across someone who's struggling with one type of mental conflict or another. How do officers feel about these cases, and how do you train your officers to handle these situations in the appropriate way?
Well, we have a 40-hour program that's based on the Memphis model for CIT. It talks about stuff like de-escalation, simple stuff. If you want someone to be calm, you need to be calm. If you need someone to be quiet, you need to speak softer. Those are the type of things we tell officers, because sometimes we don't practice those every day. When you go on a disturbance out in front of a community, you end up getting loud just so you can be heard. Then you walk into somebody's home and they're in a mental health crisis, and your default is to be loud. So we talk to them about that. We talk about modeling behavior. So they love the idea that once they recognize, once officer safety has been satisfied, so you show up on the call, you realize that things are safe, you have your backup officer, now you can reach out and start communicating with that person. We give them the verbal skills that they need to do that. So they love that aspect of it. The other thing—
But it can be scary though, right? I mean, honestly, these are uncomfortable situations oftentimes.
It can be scary, but the misperception is that you got to understand the mentally ill are more likely to be victims of crimes than perpetrators of crimes. It's a big misconception out there. Once officers understand that, which we do, then we get there. And as I said, take care of the officer safety aspect. Make sure that there's no armed disturbance. Make sure that the person's taken care of, and make sure you have a backup or a cover officer. Then you can address the crisis at hand. And then you have options to get them into the mental health community and outside of the criminal justice system.
You know, Captain, how often a day do your officers wind up dealing with a case like this? Or how many times a week? Is it a daily thing? Is it less often than that?
A case that ends up at RSI or a case because—
Just any case involving someone who's having some sort of mental health crisis.
Well, it is definitely a daily occurrence. It's hard to get the numbers on it. We're working on better. But at least 10 to 20 times a day, you're dealing with someone that's in a crisis. If you think of things—
10 to 20 times a day?
This is
in KCK alone?
Yeah. With the over 300,000 calls that we do a year, then yes, in KCK, that it would not be unheard of. What we have is you don't even think about things of people that are in severe depression. They lose their job. The veterans coming back with PTSD. Different things happen in the community that, as police officers, we're kind of the triage. Everybody thinks we're there for criminal things. And, you know, it's one of the biggest misconceptions about law enforcement is that you're only going to be out there dealing with crime. You're a community supporter, and you need to have a lot of different hats that you wear, and mental health awareness is one of them. So it is quite frequent, and what we want to do in programs like this are to get the person out of the officer's hands as quickly as possible. That's what RSI does for us. It is literally like a 10 or 15-minute drive from the farthest part of our city, maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the door, and you're back out in service doing other things.
And before RSI came along, how long could you be tied up with a case like this?
Hours. I can give you in a situation where we had a sergeant who was dealing with a woman late at night, and unfortunately her spouse died, who was her primary caretaker. He probably dealt with her for about 6 hours, from about 8 o'clock at night until 2 in the morning, trying to find someone to take care of her, trying to find a place for her to go. And there just wasn't anything available. One of the things that's great with, prior to the RSI coming along, is we have what's called a police co-responder. Olathe, Overland Park, and Kansas City, Kansas all have them. Mm-hmm. And this is a licensed mental health professional that can come out on call, but also responds out to some of these situations. If an officer goes on scene and realizes it's not a criminal situation, but this person might need follow-up, maybe an elderly person, we have a co-responder that we can notify, and then she'll respond out with an officer. And again, she's a licensed mental health professional. She'll start looking at the service available and say, does she need assistance from the aging veterans, different things like that. And so it's a wonderful program that we have in coordination with RSI.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking this morning about Rainbow Services Incorporated, otherwise known as RSI. It brings together resources in Wyandotte and Johnson counties to help the mentally ill and substance abusers. It helps the police deal with these cases. If you want to join our conversation, as always, you can do it 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Randy Kullstrom, is the problem with folks dealing with mental health crises of one kind or another, is that problem escalating? Is it remaining the same? What's your sense of things out there, just speaking from the 10,000-foot view here?
Well, our numbers continue to go up every year. We are serving more and more in Wyandotte County. And the population remains relatively the same. But definitely we've seen an uptick in admissions over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because there are more and more people in the community now who are experiencing mental health crisis. We don't house people in mental health institutions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been an increase in people in the street, but also a responsibility to the community mental health center system to help provide those services.
Yeah. I'm also wondering what services are available to clients at RSI that makes it worthwhile for officers to bring them to the center. And I'm wondering, is your place big enough or does it need to be bigger?
Well, we definitely want to see it grow. Right now, we have three units, a 10-bed sobering unit, a 10-bed observation unit where we can just watch somebody for 23 hours and just help determine, is this a psychiatric crisis? Is this person on some kind of substance and they are coming down and it's really more of a substance abuse issue?
Yeah.
And then we have a 10-bed crisis stabilization unit. Our census continues to stay pretty high, and right now we're running relatively about 8 people on average a day in each of those units.
So you're 80% at capacity, it sounds like.
Much of the time.
How big would you be if you could wave a magic wand? Would you double it? Would you triple it?
I think in the short term I'd like to see it doubled in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Who can't be brought to RSI? Anybody?
You know, we want to be the no wrong door, mm-hmm. so that anyone who feels like they're in a psychiatric crisis or anyone that law enforcement thinks that they have a concern about, just bring them to RSI and we'll help sort out what their needs are. One of the things that we do is not only provide the services on site, but we help hand off services to them into the community.
Captain?
Well, one of the things I'd like to say is, it is great, but there are people that if they're not medically stable, so some people injure themselves or if they are threatening to do self-harm, it is completely a voluntary program, so they don't have the ability to restrain somebody. So if somebody is expressing concerns about self-harm, they definitely need to go to an ER or some emergency room. The rules for RSI versus other state hospitals are different. This is completely voluntary, and that's one of the things that we look
at.
That's
true.
Does that mean that somebody can just walk out the door if he or she chooses to do so at RSI?
They can. It is, mm-hmm. as Captain was saying, that it is all voluntary, so we do not take involuntary admissions there. And yes, they have the ability to walk away.
How often times do people shake their heads and say, we don't want to be here?
Very infrequently. Sharon Sawyer, she runs the program.
Yeah.
I believe I spoke with her just last week, and she said that in her recent future, she could only – I'm sorry, recent past, only think of one. It isn't very common. Most of the time, the officers on the field and the family know that this is a voluntary service, and the people want to go there. Once the clients have been there once – they actually do like to come back. It's a huge room with nice plush leather couches, and they just sit there, and it's a calm, tranquil environment, and they can just relax.
You can feel that when you walk in the door.
Correct. Those people are there to help. They're there for their needs, and they know how to address what's bothering those people.
We're talking about Rainbow Services Incorporated, a resource center for the mentally ill folks struggling with a mental health crisis of one kind or another. Doug, once the determination is made to bring a person to RSI, what happens next? What's the next step?
Well, we do call ahead just to let them know we're coming. They've never been too full to turn anybody away, but they have been close to being full. In the stabilization center, they're able to stay there for 23 hours. So if we take somebody out of the family, like let's say the family's having trouble, then maybe they're just at their wit's end, maybe it's a holiday and things are just tense, and somebody just needs to kind of decompress. We'll run them down to RSI voluntarily. They walk in. The officer's out of there within 5 or 10 minutes. The person goes in. They're sat down. They're calmed down. They're made sure that they're hydrated. I know that they give them some sort of basic triage of blood pressure and heart rate. If they refuse that, they don't force it, but they just kind of want to make sure the person's okay. And then they just start addressing their needs. They interview them, ask them questions, make sure they're taking their meds, things like that. From there, the family can be contacted, or as Randy said, they also have the intake program where the person can actually sign themselves in for so a longer-term care, and I believe they have 10 beds for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you track folks, Randy, once they leave the center? Do you have a way of doing that?
We do. Both Wyandotte Center and Johns County Mental Health Center have case managers that are assigned to RSI, and so they actually will stay with that person until they are connected with services in the community, and then we are help tracking to make sure that they're following through with that care.
What kind of feedback are you getting from your clients?
It's really incredible feedback. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's a very different feeling, as Captain Parisi was talking about it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the families love it. You cannot go back to a call and where somebody has gone to RSI and speak to a mother or a brother or a father that says, hey, can you just run him down to RSI? He'll be great. Or thank goodness for RSI. I know about it now. That is just wonderful. And that's really where the community aspect comes in, is people sometimes just need help. And it's programs like RSI that bring it up. I guess one of the things I would throw in there real quick is, because it's a Johnson County program, if you think where the location of Johnson County Jail, you get officers from Gardner, Olathe, Overland Park, and Leawood that are bringing people up to RSI. Now, when you think that's probably double or triple the trip that it would take, plus they're coming up I-35 in traffic, and they're willing to do that rather than take somebody to jail. And it is a huge expense of resources to take one of those officers from some of those smaller agencies and send them all the way up here. But that's how beneficial RSI is to these consumers, is that the families start to say, this is a wonderful program. It's the first step to get these people help, or it's just a slight relapse that we're going to get them right back onto their course. And so that's what RSI gives us.
And Randy, there is talk about expanding this kind of model all across the state of Kansas.
Well, I know that the Wichita area recently received a grant to open a service similar to RSI. And there is some
State grant?
Yes. And there's some discussion about wanting to do that in other parts of the state.
Okay. At the top of the show, Doug, we mentioned the difficulties your brothers in blue across the state line on the Missouri side are facing on this very issue. Have they reached out to you and your department to learn more about this program? And what kind of across the state line communication do we have going on here?
We have really good state line communication. Sergeant Bryant with Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, he actually does some training for us. And we actually trained a class of CIT about 3 weeks ago, and I was speaking with him, and he mentioned that they have some of their hospitals and some of the resources that they have over there, because they are a larger community, we don't have access to. But I think a program like this would benefit them. Again, it comes down to funding. The biggest aspect with funding is trying to convince people, especially in the ER, hey, you know, we don't want to spend this money and help you support your program, but then all of a sudden you're spending $500,000, $1 million a year on these same clients as walking into the ER because there's no other option. So for pennies on the dollar from what they're spending there, it's definitely worthwhile in the long run.
You know, Randy, maybe just a final point. I'm guessing that a trip to RSI doesn't start every client down the road to recovery, and there's bound to be repeat business. And I'm wondering, is it worth it to bring the same people in repeatedly, or how do you feel about that?
Well, actually, that's one of the things that we had to kind of work through initially, because we had some repeat customers. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because especially if somebody's experiencing some substance abuse disorder, you don't get fixed or cured the first time. So we really look at those repeat customers as an opportunity to better engage with them. Of the roughly 1,000 admissions that we've had, about 700 of them, or about 70%, though, are unduplicated or new admissions. So about 30% of our admissions are repeat customers.
Captain, what would you like to leave our listeners with? What kind of message do you want to leave here with folks about RSI and what it means?
Well, the one thing I'd love to give out the number, 913-956-5620. That's the number to RSI. Anybody that is suffering a mental health crisis or has a family member, there are resources out there. It's important they know that. Wyandotte County, 913-788-4200 is a 24-hour hotline, and Johnson County, 913-268-0156 is a 24-hour hotline. They can answer all your questions. They can answer questions about RSI, and they can make referrals.
And we'll put links to RSI and that information on our website at kcur.org as well. And I want to thank Randy Kahlstrom, again, President and CEO of Wyandotte Inc., Captain Doug Parisi, the Crisis Intervention Team Liaison at the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department. Thanks for the good information, guys. Really
appreciate
it.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.